Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks. We thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who knew no sin, but became sin unto death on a cross for us. And certainly during this Lenten season, we remember that great sacrifice. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you for being our Savior and our Lord. So we ask you now to speak a word for us, a word of hope, a word of peace, a word of hope. Speak to each and every one of us individually. Speak to our hearts. Speak, Holy Spirit. God, you know what we all need. You know what we all desire at this moment. Some of us big things and some of us small things. Some of us things that are serious and some of us things that are not so serious. You know everything about us. So speak a word for us, Lord God. And then take hold of me to preach and put me under submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, Lord God, our refuge and our strength, our Redeemer, our Savior. Speak, Lord, for we're listening. Amen. And so today, my sermon title is, Amen. I must tell you, I was on Zoom. I don't have to tell you, but I was on Zoom the other day in a meeting, and for the church, not for the conference. And the people were arguing. It was a financial meeting, and it was just, you know, we were trying to figure things out. And you know, I'm the chair of that committee, and so I forgot that I was on speaker. I was on the speaker. So they were talking, and I said, these people are going to drive me to get a drink. I need a drink. And everybody starts, and somebody says, Marjorie, your speaker is open. And so they now I says, I have to tell the bishop I just meant a drink of water. But they were driving me nuts. And I said, so I remembered now, and I says, I need a drink. Make sure your mic isn't open. So anyway, thank you, Lord, for this moment of laughter. Thank you. And so my sermon title today is When the Faithful Feels Forsaken. And we've been reading a little bit about that in our book on the third word. We read in Matthew 15:33-34. It says, at noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And so we see that scripture, those words come from the Psalm 22. And the more extended version of that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. And by night, but I find no rest. And the author says of the book, Seven Words, listening to Christ from the cross, my guess is that all of us have experienced feeling as if we were abandoned by God at some point in our lives. I know, she said, I know I have. In the midst of terrible situations, I have wondered just where God was. I have asked whether God had somehow forgotten to show up when divine help was most wanted or needed. I have felt desolate, abandoned, and all alone. In other words, I felt like Jesus felt as he was tortured, mocked, and dying on the cross. And so our argument is that we have all felt abandoned or forsaken at some point. It is human, because Jesus is human, showed us that from the cross, that there are moments that where we feel forsaken. We feel God forsaken. The prodigal son's story, we know about it, right? We have heard it read. But what about the other son? What about the other son? Next slide, to show the picture of the other son. What about the other son? I've heard the story of the prodigal son. I could recite it. So we know in summary what it says, right? This man had two sons. He had two sons. And one son, I think it's the younger son, he said, "Dad, listen, I want my money. You're going to give me an inheritance? I want it now. I don't want to wait till you're dead. Give me my money, and I'd like to go do whatever I want to do with it." We have heard it. Some of us have done it to our parents. Some of our kids are going to do it to us, or have already done it to us. And the dad didn't argue. He gave him his money, gave him his inheritance, which I assume it's money. It is, whatever they called it then, denarii or whatever. And he went, to party. He went to do stuff. He was having a good time. He was no longer under his father's covering. And so he went and he spent his money, and the scripture tells us, on prostitutes and liquor. Now, if it was, it would be here on social media if it was now. But he spent all his money, and then he fell into what? Disrepair, right? Had nothing. No more money, no more daddy to give him, because he went into what? A far country, they said. Far country. That means he went away from his dad and his family. And he said he came from a home where he had everything, but he got so hungry, and he could not eat even what, he could not get what the pigs were eating. That's how bad he had fallen. But what a merciful God we serve. That's how bad he was, he had fallen, and he was there suffering. And somehow, the Holy Spirit of God must have spoken to his heart, because this is a story that gives you the image of the divine, you see. So he said in his heart, "I better go home." Good move. "I better go home now and go to my dad. Whatever happens, happens, but I'm going to go home and repent. Ask for forgiveness." And so he headed on home. That's the story I'm summarizing. And we know what happened. The father saw him coming in a distance, and he ran out to meet him. You could just see that picture, everything on Google. You've seen it painted in the great museums, right? This man running towards his son, right? Could have been son or daughter. It happens to be a son here. Run towards him with open arms and welcome him. And he tells his servants, "Let's have a party. Let's have a real party." He's going to put a ring and robes on him and lovely, and fix up the place and have some great music and great food. That's what a party happens. And while he was, and he got ready, but something happened. Let's look at the picture now of the, another picture there. Next slide. Don't go that far. Next slide. I just wanted to see the other son. Yes, do you see? The scripture tells us that the son, the elder son, was standing outside. He wouldn't even join in because he was hurt. Now, let me say, and this picture really depicts it, because it has been done by several artists. You could see him standing outside with his arms folded. He's hurt. Because what? His father is now taking care of the son who wasn't there. Now, for those of us, and I want to make it real, especially if you are an elder child and a good elder child, you sometimes are left with the responsibility of taking care of your parents. Sometimes it could be a middle child, you know, but oftentimes there is one of your children. If it's just one child, you have no choice, right? But oftentimes you're left where one child is doing everything and the other one is not doing so much. I had that in my family. Caused some conflict at one point. Thank God we have, as Paul says it to the Corinthians, we have reconciled that through Jesus Christ. Praise be the Lord, the ministry of reconciliation. But there became a time when we were upset because, you know, my household was doing everything for my mother, and I didn't think my sister was stepping up enough. It has happened. But there has to be forgiveness in all of us, right? And to realize the circumstance and the situation each person is in. We see it happening where you look and you say, look all the things I've done. And now this person come home and you're giving them everything. What about me? What did you give me? We're seeing it happen. And so, next slide. One writer calls it the elder brother or elder sister syndrome. Right? First point. It says he thought because he obeyed the rules, he deserved blessing. Sometimes we who stay home, we who are doing, we who are taken care of, we want to tell God what to do. Right? And we believe because we obey the rules, that means we stayed home and took care of the dad, take care of parents, take care of whomever we're supposed to, we deserve the blessing. We should get it. Nobody else should get it. The other children, because I have worked hard, but it's not up to us. Point two, his motive was to receive, not to show love to his father. Because nowhere in the text it said the elder son loved his father so much. He just thought he should have received, right? He should have received. Number three, he thought his brother's sinfulness was unforgivable. He thought because his brother left and sinned against the father, he should never be forgiven. And we sometimes in the church are like that. When people come in that haven't been to church, haven't done anything, we sometimes don't think they should be sitting in the same seat or getting the blessings because we have been here. And the blessings should be for us. And number four, he resented his father's joy and refused to share in it. I guess I was typing fast. So he resented his father's joy. He resented that his father would be happy that his brother came. And we have to watch that as Christian believers, right? When the Lord saves someone, we should be happy. Even if they haven't come to church for 50 years and they show up, we should be happy that God's blessings are for them. Amen? Here are the key points. The prodigal's brother proclaimed his righteousness, but had never lifted a finger to help his father bring his brother back. Nowhere in the text did we see that he says, Dad, let me help you find my brother. Dad, I could do something. What can we do? Let's come together. We do not see that in the text. Next point, then when his prodigal brother finally did return, he would not accept his brother as an equal part of the family. He was so bitter that he would not. It doesn't mean that he didn't have a right to feel that he had been left out. You see, when you've been faithful and you feel forsaken, it's hard. You feel like you've been doing and doing and you've been forsaken and abandoned. But you must have forgiveness. And so the next point says he judged that his brother was unworthy of family love, of the family's love. Very crucial here. It's okay when we're faithful and we come to church and we're always serving God that we want to be remembered. But God never abandons us when we're faithful. He never does, because he wants the next person to come in. And we should be what? In partnership with God, welcoming, seeking ways to welcome those who are lost. Right? We should not be upset because God continues to seek the lost. Remember when we were lost? You know, we've all were lost at one point. Raise your hand if you touch me, even if you're a baby, because we are born in sin. We are born in sin. So we all were lost. What did they ask Rosa yesterday? What happens at baptism to a baby who doesn't know? And praise be to God, she said, prevenient grace. My Lord, I was so pleased. That grace that comes before understanding. Prevenient grace that brings us to Christ. And then justifying grace when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Right, Rosa? And then sanctifying grace when we're living for Christ all of our life. We must want that for everybody who seeks it. Amen? We must want that. So the main spiritual nugget we get from this is we must trust God, trust in God who never abandons or forsaken us. God will never abandon. He doesn't abandon the faithful, and he doesn't abandon the unfaithful. Never does. And when we are in the house, when we are there home all the time with the Lord, when we are in relationship with the Lord, we are receiving from the Lord all the time. Amen? We are receiving from the Lord all the time because we are in communion with God. We come to church, we go to Bible study, we pray. We have a problem and we go to the Lord in prayer. We are in communion with God and we are receiving from God. That person who's lost is not going through that, not receiving that. And we must want them to receive it. Scripture tells us in Isaiah 40:15, can a mother forget the baby at her breast? And have no compassion on the child she has borne. Though she may forget, I will not forget you. God says he will never forget us. And the rest of that scripture says, for he has inscribed us or engraved us in the palm of his hands. Amen? He's not going to forget the faithful or the unfaithful. And so that brother had to learn that. That brother had to learn that lesson that God would not forsake him. And I am sure if that text continued, you would have seen a reconciliation between those two brothers and that father. Because that father in the text represents God. It's a parable, right? And the two sons represent somebody who's in the flock who has accepted Jesus and somebody who has not. And so now I want to read you as I close this. There is a thing called the hound from heaven. And I want to show you this picture of, this is not the hound from heaven. It's a book called The Hound from Heaven, a poem. But this is the image of God, of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, always coming after us. And here's what the writer says. In the hound from heaven. In his love for us, Jesus acts like a hound dog, intense and focused as he pursues the hunt. The image comes from Francis Thompson, a 19th century British poet who wrote The Hound of Heaven. Although Thompson was a follower of Christ, he struggled with poverty, poor health, and an addiction to opium. which in those days was sold as an over-the-counter medication. In the depths of his despair, Thompson described his flight from God. He says, I fled him down the nights and down the days. I hid from him and under running laughter. I sped from those strong feet that followed after me. But Thompson also knew the unrelenting love of Jesus, the hound from heaven. In the poem, Jesus pursues Thompson with unhurrying chase and unperturbed pace, deliberate speed and majestic urgency. He hears the feet of Jesus beating after him as Jesus calls, "All things betrays those who betray me." In a recent biography of John Scott, Scott refers to Thomas's poem. According to Scott, he owes his faith in Christ not to his parents or teachers or even his own decision, but to Jesus, the hound of heaven. Scott writes, "My faith is due to Jesus Christ himself, who pursued me relentlessly, even when I was running away from him in order to go my own way. And if it were not for the gracious pursuit of the hound from heaven, I would today be on the scrap heap of wasted, discarded lives." And so what this tells us that when we're out of relationship with Jesus, he never stops coming after us. He's like a hound dog, just coming, you are his, and especially when you are Christians who are backslidden. You see, I used to pray for my brother a lot. Says, "Lord, he's not going to church." And I says, "But you promised you will save my unsaved loved ones. You'll save the ones who are not coming to church. You'll get him back, Lord. You're going to cover him, Lord Jesus." Constantly praying. And the Lord did, because he was in relationship with him finally. Not quick enough, but it doesn't matter to the Lord. I would have wished it had been that he would have been in church all the time. But he was able to say, "I'm a believer," and accepted Christ. The hound from heaven does not stop. If you have a loved one that is not worshiping the Lord, that you brought up in the church and they don't know Jesus, friends, there's nothing, no material goods, no education, no houses, no cars. None of it mean anything, because we're going to die and leave it. And eternal life is the promise. And we're not going to carry the house, and we're not going to carry the car or the jewelry or nothing. We're not going to do that. We're just going to go straight, right? Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We're going to be caught up to meet him. Whatever we have is going to stay here. And we're going to be able to be in eternity with him. Thanks be to God for his faithfulness. That even on our deathbed, if we have the wherewithal, we could surrender. We could cry out to God and say, "Father, I stretch my hand to thee, for no other help I know. Lord God, do not turn yourself from me. I surrender all to you, Lord Jesus. Unto you I surrender, unto you I truly give." We have the time to do that. And Jesus will receive us like this picture shows us, with open arms, open arms. No questions asked. You know why? Because he already knows what we have done. He knows every sin we have committed. He knows every lie we have spoken. He knows whatever we have done. If we're in an adultery, he knows it. We don't have to give him a list. We just have to say, "Lord, have mercy upon me and forgive me." He doesn't need our list, because our list is going to forget many things. So today, that brother, I believe, was reconciled to Jesus Christ. That some point in that relationship with his father, He understood that his father loved him. His father said to him at the end, "Everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours." But now your brother came back. He was lost, and now he's found. Thanks be to God for God's faithfulness. Amen. So those of us who are faithful and serve God, don't feel forsaken. And when you feel forsaken, just get down on your knees and cry out to Abba Father. Just cry out to Abba Father. The writer of the book told us a story how they cried and cried for their father to get well, and then she cried and cried and prayed for him to die. And it didn't happen, and she was angry with God. And she yelled at God, and she cried out to God. And at the end, when God took her father, she was able to realize what was going on. Her father was able to live so they could all come together as a family around him. And now our heart is reconciled with the Lord. It's all right to cry out to God. It's all right to get angry with God. It's okay. David says in the psalm, "Are you going to let me die? Can the dead praise you, God?" Have you ever read the lament psalms? He says, "God, can the dead praise you? Why don't you listen to me?" There's a difference in disrespecting God and getting angry with God. It's okay. Jesus says, "Father, Father, why have thou forsaken me?" Giving us the authority to cry out to our God. But when it comes to us, when it comes in with open arms, we must submit, knowing that he loves us. Amen? Amen. Thanks be to God for his faithfulness.